Tonight's share is the third part to Muksa, the last share on Muksa. Thank you. And we'll try to review again from the past, the last two shiurim, where we discussed the different categories of Muksa. There's Kli Shamlach de Isser, is a Kli which is primary purpose is for Isser. So that's mutter to move only Tzarech Gufay for its usage or Mekayme or its place. You have a Kli Shamlach de Heter where its primary usage for Heter, so that can be moved for any purpose you want. Then you have Muksa Machmas Gufay, something which is like stones, rocks, which have no usage on its own until you give it a usage, has no intrinsic usage, and it cannot be moved at all on Shabbos. Then we discussed last week different examples of each one of these categories to bring it out. And here we are over here on today's sheet. Moving a muksa object in a backhanded manner. Now what a backhanded manner means, instead of me taking the muksa with my hand and picking it up or moving it, I'm moving either with the back of my hand or in a not normal way. So let's say there'll be muksa on the floor and I pick it up between my fingers. It's called kilachiyad, ashina, kilachiyad. So if I'm walking down the street and I see a purse or a wallet of money on the floor, and I'm not allowed to pick it up. What I could do is I could kick it with my foot to a place where it will remain until after Shabbos, as long as it's the Erev. As long as it's the Erev, you have no problems with moving it. If let's say you are, this is true with anything, you could kick it with your foot. If you see a rock on the middle of the sidewalk, you could kick it to the side, even though it's normal to kick rocks with your feet. However, the Mishnah Brura holds that the is of moving muksa was with your hand. I'm not using it with my hand, I'm using any other part of my body. I'm pushing it with my shoulder. I'm moving it with my foot. That would be muta.
Is there a problem with Shishu Rabban versus Yavid?
Mitra Rabban, yeah. But that's Haitzah. We're talking about over here.
There's no
Erev,
no?
That's right. Talking about over here where there is Erev, and if you're Samech on the Erev, so then you don't have Haitzah problems. Similarly, let's say someone forgot, this is a good case, let's say someone forgot in their pocket something that's Muksa, some money. You went to the Kaisel and you got some change. So it's in your pocket. And it's more than what you would want just to give away. So you have it in your pocket, you don't know what to do with it. So there's something called tilt of a goof. Where you're moving with your goof. You're not moving with your hands, you're moving with your goof. So leaving it in my pocket, now it's being moved by me. I'm moving my pocket, I'm moving my body, which is causing the money to move from place to place. So what you can do is you can leave it in your pocket and just wait until you get back to your room, and then you'll shake it out of your pants.
What if you're going to be walking through?
This is all as long as you're not walking anywhere where there's no air. Again, it's only if there's air.
Somewhere like Yerushalayim, are there places you have to worry about?
If you're in Yerushalayim, you're Samech on the Erev, then that's fine.
You left your cell phone in your pocket, you're walking around.
Just leave it, right? If you realize you left your cell phone in your pocket, just leave it in your pocket, don't touch it. Go to wherever you gotta go to, and then when you get back home, shake it out.
There's no Haitzah.
Okay?
There right before Shabbos. It's like a minute before Shabbos, you have to take it out, right?
No, if you don't have a safe place to put it, you could just leave it there and go further. Okay?
Even if there's no air, if you're still walking, it's fine.
Sure, but there's more issues then. I'm not getting involved in the Haitzah issues, right? Your hands may have to stop by the red light. Okay. Fine. Okay, so that's okay. Now, indirect movement, that's all included in moving a muksa object on a backhanded manner, kicking a muksa, indirect movement. Indirect movement is what's called tiltu min hatzad. Let's say let's say I have in the freezer a challah and a piece of meat and frozen fish. And the frozen fish is muksa, the frozen meat is muksa, the challah is not muksa because I could use the challah on Shabbos. But in order for me to get that challah out, I could pull the challah by its end, but it's going to cause the meat to move. So I'm not touching the meat, I'm not moving the meat with my hands, but indirectly I'm moving the meat. So that's mutter. It's called indirect movement. If let's say, what's another example? I have muksa on the door of the fridge or on the door of the freezer, I can open and close it because I'm not directly moving it, I'm moving it by moving the door. What else would be an example? Oh, if I have the example of the Mishnah is where I have a barrel of wine and there's a rock on the barrel, covering the barrel, holding the cover down. So the halach is I need to do first niur. I need to shake it off. I need to tilt the barrel so the rock should fall. But if I cannot do that because the rock will hit another barrel and break it, so then I can pick the barrel up with the rock on, go to a place where I can shake it off and shake it off. So here also, anytime you have muksa, I can tell you a story that took place. There's a lady who lived in Mata stuff. And she wanted to go visit her. She would go every Shabbos to visit her mother who lived by Kikar Shabbos. But she was pregnant and in her 8th month, 9th month, whatever it was, it was a little difficult for her to walk both ways. So she asked the Rav, can she bring her Ravkaf. So she didn't want to borrow money from her mother. It was a whole situation. So she wanted to she bring her Ravkaf. So what would the answer be? The answer was that before Shabbos, take a bag, put some oranges, which is not muksa, with the Ravkaf in the same bag. And on Shabbos, you'll take the bag and go to your mother's house, you'll eat the oranges, and then you'll have the Ravkaf after Shabbos. Meaning the idea over here is that since I'm moving the bag with the non-muksa, and there's a muksa in there also, so if I'm able to shake out the muksa and not have to carry it, then that's definitely better. Shake it out. But since I needed that, because I won't be able to get back after Shabbos without it, so therefore you could take it together with the non-muksa things.
Does that mean if you have a drawer and there's a...
I'm going to get to a drawer in a minute. What?
Preparing it for after Shabbos.
I set it up on Shabbos. Why is it not a chana? Yeah. Because since it's in the same bag as the oranges that I need for today, so I'm doing one ma'isa for today. That's not a chana. It's a good idea always. If you ever have a chana shayla, put it in the same bag as the things that you need for today, and then you can take it together. Okay, now comes what's called a busis. Now listen closely to this, because this does come up, but it also does not come up. Meaning, if you know the conditions, then you'll see it's not as common as it may sound like. A busis, the word busis means a base. A base. It's holding something. It's a base for something else. A base for something else. So the halach is as follows. If I have something which is muksa that I cannot move at all on Shabbos, and I placed it onto something which is mutter, with the intention that I want this something that's mutter to hold, to serve as a holder for the muksa, the dava hamutter gets the dinim of the muksa, because now it comes like a tuffle to the muksa. What's a classic example of this? I have my leichta, which is, the leichta is the candelabra, which is there to hold the oil, which is holding the flame, and the flame is muksa, right? So the flame, which is being held by the oil, which is being held by the glass, which is being held by the candelabra, is a busis to a busis, but it's a busis to holding muksa. So what happens on Shabbos? the light goes out, there's no more fire. So what's the candelabra? Should be a klish malach de lisser. No, but since when Shabbos started, this was being used to hold something that's muksa, even if the muksa disappears, the candelabra remains muksa and I cannot move it. A table. Let's say I put that on the table, something which is muksa. Let's say I use the table to hold my muksa, my money that's muksa. I put it on the table because I want it to be on the table. It's a perfect spot for it to be, on the desk in my room and all that. And then when the children come, see money, or the guy comes, the cleaning lady comes, whatever she's doing there on Shabbos, and she comes, she sees the money, she takes the money. So now the desk is left without the money. But since when Shabbos started, this desk was being used to hold the money, even though the guy took it off on Shabbos, it remains muksa. So let's go through the conditions of how something becomes a buses. Condition number one, intentional placement. I put it there because I wanted to put it there. Not that I put it there and I forgot it there, or I forgot it there, or I was planning coming back to it and I just forgot to come back to it. But what? I put it there with the intention that it should be there. There's a machlokes if I had to have in mind that I wanted to be there for Shabbos, or it's enough that I wanted it to be there. And now it's still there for Shabbos. But for sure in a case where I put it down there with the intention that it should be over here on this Davar Muta, that's tonight number one. Tonight number two is by the owner. I cannot make your thing into a buses. I can take my candelabra and put it on your table and now make your table into a buses.
That's what someone else's glasses on.
No, that was... I can't make a buses. Number three, the muksa has to be on the Dava Hamuta, the entire Bein HaShemashes. Bein HaShemashes is the time of sunset, which is like from Shkia until 13 and a half minutes afterwards. According to the Mishmura, it has to be the entire Bein HaShemashes. If I took it off the middle of Bein HaShemashes, or if someone took it off the middle of Bein HaShemashes, according to the Mishmura, it will not be a buses. According to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, it will be a buses. However, it has to be the Bein HaShemashes. The lower item is serving the upper one, meaning it has to have shaychas. The candelabra has shaychas to the flame. The tray that the candelabra is on has shaychas. The tray is made to hold the candelabra.
Does the opposite work also with the upper items?
Yes, I'll give you an example of the opposite. I have wet laundry that's going to be muksa, right? We discussed last week, sometimes it may not be so. Talking about real wet laundry, in the winter it's not going to dry, it's going to be muksa. Take a clothespin to put the clothespin on, to hold the laundry on. The clothespin is on top. But since this clothespin is serving a purpose of holding the laundry on the line, the clothespin now becomes a buses and it's muksa.
I mentioned that my tefillin bag might be a buses. Probably
not, because tefillin is either klish machlehet or klish machlehet. So buses is only by muksa machos kufa. So it's really muksa. Okay?
If something like this is left on the desk, can I use the desk?
If someone took this, put it down there to be there, then the desk. Oh, so that's a good question. Yeah, it's interesting.
Not even putting something on top of it.
No, you can use the desk. We can't move the desk. Mux is moving. Can't move the desk. You can use the desk. You can sit by the desk. Right? Is that clear? If, let's say I use the table to hold the candelabra. Even though the table becomes a buses, I can still use the table. I can sit by the table, but I can't move the table. When we're talking about muksa, we're talking about moving. Yeah?
What about a rookie table?
What?
A rookie table that you touch and moves.
Yeah, be careful.
That's considered movement, or if only it moves the legs and actually...
If it moves out of its place, smash this. Okay, now, one more thing here. But what happens if it's a buses, the davaso, or the davamuta? Let's say I have a drawer, right? A drawer. So the drawer of my desk... I put money in there. So now the drawer becomes a buses to the money. But let's say besides the money, there's also
a sitter.
So a sitter, and there's some other things, some food.
Pair of socks.
Some pair of socks. There's a lot of other things besides that money. So now it comes out this drawer is a basis to a dava aser, the money, and also to a dava mutter. So how do we dine it up? So we say over here, what's more valuable to you? But what's more valuable to you in value, in money, or in what you need? So Rav Moshe says, we look at the value in money also. The Minigah Olam seems to be that we look at what's more valuable to you. How do I know that? Because the Minigah Olam is, they could have a very fancy Leichter, cost a lot of money, on a tray, and people put a challah down, or they put a challah on the table, so that they'll be able to move the table, because now it's a buses to the candelabra, and a buses to the challah. Now in value, the candelabra is worth much more than the challah. But if you had a choice, let me ask you something, you had a choice to have light and no food, or food and no light, what would you take? That's right. So therefore the food has more value to you. That's right. And nowadays every fancy restaurant they're cheap by the lights. Okay. So again, so just to sum this up, we have what's called a basis to a dava aser. The basis receives the dinim of the dava aser as long as you fulfill these tenayim that was put down there with tension to be there, banishmashais, and it serves it. But if it's a basis to a dava aser and dava muta, then it'll be muta. Okay. Have a wonderful evening.